and welcome to an InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast, recorded March 10th as the playoffs are set to get underway across the nation. Some already have, others will this weekend. It's an exciting time of the year, and we'll talk about it for the next approximately hour here on the Inch Podcast. Thanks for listening. My name is Joe Gladyszewski, podcast host and senior writer covering ECAC hockey. Joined tonight, as we record this, by Mike Eidelbus, Inch editor and columnist, and Jess Myers, senior writer covering the WCHA. Happy playoff season, gentlemen.
It's the best time
of the
year.
That's the greatest time of year, too. Daylight savings time, snow is melting. I don't know. They're planning the year-end banquet at a lot of schools. It's next week.
Well, a couple schools.
Many coaching staffs are reviewing video of their opponents this weekend. Other coaching staffs are reviewing video of Tiger Woods.
Other coaching staffs are proofreading their resumes.
Yes. heading down to the Golf Dome to.
Is 10th place TENTH or 10TH? Okay. We'll start in the East on this podcast because, well,
that's where the sun rises.
That's right, baby. And we'll start with ECAC hockey. Had an opportunity to get out to the rinks last weekend. Saw St. Lawrence and Colgate play a decidedly unremarkable game on Friday night that St. Lawrence won, and Colgate came back to win that series. Saturday saw Dartmouth beat Cornell at Lina, and Cornell came back to win that series with a Game 3 victory after they had won the first night. Form held in the ECAC hockey playoffs as all of the home teams won on the weekend, with Quinnipiac beating Brown, Colgate beating St. Lawrence, Cornell beating Dartmouth, as we mentioned, and Yale beating Rensselaer, including both of those games in overtime. Which, as you looked at it, wasn't that big of a surprise, and I mentioned it in last week's notebook, that those teams had matched up well in the regular season against the teams that they had paired up with in the playoffs. But I think the biggest upset possibilities might be this weekend. And they'll be great hockey series because, again, each team has kind of a little thing going with the opponent. Yale and Princeton play in a series that could be quite high scoring and aggressive, exciting hockey. That's down in Princeton. The Tigers have certainly improved a lot over the last 4 or 5 years, and they haven't had a lot of playoff success, so they're trying to get over that hurdle. But Yale could definitely come out of that. No surprise there. Even top-seeded Clarkson, they play against the Colgate team that Mark Dekanich has really given them trouble all 4 years. And you've got two very very strong senior classes that have played a lot of hockey against each other. And big-time players when you look at Dekanich, Tyler Burton, Jesse Winchester on Colgate, and Clarkson's outstanding senior class with players like David Leggio and Grant Clitsam and Steve Zaleski and Nick Dodge and players of that sort. So that should be a good one. Clarkson has a little pressure on them being the top seed playing at home, whereas Colgate probably is going to be able to be a little more relaxed. So that'll be a good one. Harvard and Quinnipiac, again, a good series of a very strong defensive team versus a very strong offensive team. Harvard really turned it around after Beanpot. They kind of had a BU effect, and I really like what they did late in the season. I think they'll probably win that series. And Cornell and Union have actually built up a decent little rivalry over the last few years. Nate Lehman played college hockey in the Central New York area, recruited against Cornell when he was a member of the Harvard coaching staff. And those Harvard-Cornell matchups, he knows what it's all about, and he knows what it means. So his team has really had a nice rivalry. They've got two regular season wins over Cornell this year. And talk to him a little bit. One thing that they're excited about is the fact that they had the week off because they needed it rest up. They had no bye weeks, I guess, from mid-January to the end of the season. You know, two games back-to-back every weekend. And many teams around the country have at least had one weekend off in that stretch, but Union did not. So it'll be a good weekend. Looking forward to it in ECAC.
Joe, is, you know, you look at the ECAC Hockey League teams on a map, and Princeton's kind of isolated. Is that a road trip that people dread? I mean, you know, it's by Western hockey standards, it's not that far away, but, you know, because it's kind of isolated from the rest, is that known to be a tough road trip to go down to Princeton?
No. Their travel partner is Quinnipiac, so I mean, the travel difficulty is getting through New York City on that trip.
Right.
It's
I'm looking,
not a lot.
You know,
yeah.
Look at Google Maps between New Haven, Connecticut, and Princeton, and you're going right through, you know, the Bronx, essentially.
Oh yeah, yeah. But no, it's not. It's not that big a deal. It's probably more. I don't know. The hassle of it isn't as big a deal as I think the hockey. Princeton's a good team.
Yeah.
It's tough to play against, and it's emphasized because the other teams are so close geographically. I mean, Clarkson to St. Lawrence is 10 miles max. You know, Colgate to Cornell, even though it's not a good road to go, it's not a too bad of a trip. Obviously, RPI and Union very close. Yale and Brown.
So even though it's only, you know, you're looking at 2-3 hours, it might be kind of a shock to the system to actually get on a bus and ride for that long. Nearby trips.
Yeah, well. And each team probably does it a little differently. Some may drive, you know, fully to New Jersey the next day. Some may stay in, you know, Connecticut, or some may go halfway. I mean, you don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just something you have to deal with. And it won't be a problem for a playoff series. I mean, they'll go down a day ahead of time, and they'll get a skate in and check in the hotel, and they'll be on top of things. Yale will be. So it'll be it won't be a bad trip from that standpoint. I think people still get most bothered by the North Country trip as far as just going up there and the level of hockey that they're going to have to play, and it's a long trip, especially for the New England schools. So,
that's
a good question.
I was going to say, you look at Clarkson, obviously, as you know, coming in as the regular season champs, and I think that even now you'd probably consider them the favorites still. But,
oh, absolutely.
But those are, I mean, you look at those four series, really, you know, as an outside observer of the conference, it really wouldn't be a surprise to see any of those teams advance. I mean, there really isn't, there's not one outcome that you would say, wow, that's a shock.
I mean,
and I think that's what makes that's what makes, you know, this particular series, and we kind of talked about this prior to starting tonight in ECAC hockey. I mean, that's what makes this weekend so intriguing, is that, you know, it really is anybody is still alive in that conference, and you know, you could see, you know, would it surprise you to see Quinnipiac score a million goals and advance? No. I mean, same, you know, would it surprise us to see Deaconich and Colgate play well in advance? I mean, that's what makes it exciting, is that really anything can happen in this league, and I think we're kind of seeing that to a certain extent in the WCHA as well, with some of those matchups, and even in Hockey East, I think we're kind of finding that, is that there's not a lot of gimmies in these series.
We'll move on to Hockey East in a moment. But, yeah, you're making good points there. I think there is definitely the biggest favorite definitely is Clarkson. I mean, there's no question, just for this weekend's games. But even after that, I mean, you've got, you know, once you get to Albany, whoever's there, it's anybody's game. It's anybody's game. And I think the Yale-Princeton series is good because that means a team that hasn't been there is going to get back there. And I always like that. You know, it was fine when it was, you know, Harvard and Cornell every year, you know, but I like it when other teams get that experience. I mean, Vermont made it in their last season in the league. Dartmouth made a trip. Brown made a trip in 03. You know, so I think it's good to see that. And then last year, St. Lawrence and Quinnipiac both. So that'll be good. Hockey East pairings, just break them down briefly. Providence at Boston College, Northeastern at Vermont, UMass at New Hampshire and UMass Lowell at Boston University. But one thing that I realized was if you were to ask us on January 1st about a BU and Lowell series, you know, it would have been a no-doubter, absolutely Mass Lowell. Seriously, they were one of the hottest teams in the country. Absolutely. There'll be a 2-7 series, and Lowell will be the second-place team. It didn't work out that way, and full credit to Boston University for what they've done. I've been very impressed by them. Very impressed. And
could you?
We had them in the 4x4 last week, Boss. Is that true?
I think we had them on the bubble, but I think this week, I mean, you got to put them in there. I mean, they're right there. I mean, they're still a little bit on the bubble, and I think, you know, when you look at,
I think if they win this series, they're in.
I think so too, because you know stuff is going to happen in the WCHA, and all. I still think that all those teams from the WCHA can't hang around. I mean,
it's mathematically impossible. I mean, essentially, they're all going to have two more losses.
Right. Somebody's got to get bumped out of there. At least one of them. But I mean, you know, you look at, you know, like you said, you know, 6-8 weeks ago, you think that Lowell's hosting that series. You know, you can, you know, 6-8 weeks ago, you think Northeastern's probably hosting Vermont instead of Vermont.
Yeah, I was going to say Northeastern is. Team where, you know, if you would have looked at the playoff projections 2 months ago, you clearly would have said Huskies will be at home and you know, will probably be favored no matter who they play.
Yeah, and, you know, 2 months ago, you're probably thinking that no way UMass is getting into the playoffs by the skin of their teeth. I mean, they were, you know, we had them as high as fourth after coming off the tournament down in Tampa. So, I mean, that, the last 6 to 8 weeks in this conference have been really, have been just as volatile as probably any, you know, race that I can think of off the top of my head in recent memory, at least. And, you know, when you look at these eight teams, I think BU's playing the best. I mean, they're not.
I agree.
They're finally keeping the puck out of their net, and they're scoring goals. Lots of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what they're doing right now.
Yeah. They're
well, unfortunately, Jeff Howe couldn't join us tonight on the podcast, but I was speaking with him earlier in the day, and he's got a dilemma you'll see in the conference notebooks this year as our annual wrap-up issue, as they like to say, where we'll name Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, and all-league teams, et cetera, as chosen by us, the Inch writers. And he's got a dilemma. I mean, if you're looking for a player of the year, do you go with most valuable and kind of take the criteria of how would this team be without this guy? Or do you, you know, do most outstanding, you know, player? And he's got a tough call, and probably between Kevin Regan and Nathan Gerby. To me, it's Regan right now. I think I've got him. I would have him ahead of Gerby in my Hobie vote right now. But
I think we're getting, and we've, you know, and I, you know, and I've been probably the biggest Gerby supporter on the planet.
Well, you discovered him.
Yeah, I unearthed him. It was something else. But
bigger than his mom.
Is he?
Just saying. You know, mom's been there, thick and thin.
Well, maybe bigger than I don't know. I haven't had a stone with his mom. Although she's right down the road in Oxford, Michigan.
Maybe they have a strained relationship. We don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Let's clear that.
So,
but
Gerby.
I'm just saying, I think Regan's, you got to consider him ahead of Gerby right now.
How about Colin Wilson? Freshman.
How about Pete MacArthur? I mean, he's been good.
Pete MacArthur, I know. It's good. It's tough. Hey, a lot of tough calls out there. I mean, I asked Bob Gaudette straight up on Saturday night. I said, why should I put Nick Johnson on my all-league team if he finished in 12th place? And it was tied for 10th, but they were the last seeded team. You know, can you do that? Can you? I don't know. It's a lot to think about. The choices aren't easy.
Well, I think one choice that's easy in Hockey East, and I guess I don't want to put words on Jeff's paper, but Jack Parker's got to be the coach of the year, doesn't he?
Yeah, Kevin Sneddon. Kevin Sneddon's got his team in third place, and their leading scorer is 24 points in 34 games.
How did they do that?
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot to consider. How about Dickie Millie? You know, his team was consistent. You know, they won the big games, won the big series. Lots of light there. It's a tough call. Tough call. No doubt about it. And one last on Hockey East. Maine's season is over. Not something you're used to seeing from a top team perennially, a top team in this league and in the nation. Done.
Yeah, they've been to the last two Frozen Fours.
Yeah. Tough call there. But you know what, another thing I was looking at, speaking of Frozen Fours in Maine, I mean, this will be our next topic, kind of jump ahead to NCAA tournament. We've got a pretty clear differentiation in between the top teams and then the kind of that next tier of teams. And last year, three number three seeds made it to the Frozen Four. And those are the teams, I think, right now, if you look at that area of the computer rankings, that are playing pretty hot right now. And wouldn't be surprised if they go on a little run. You know, a team like BU, a team like Clarkson, you know, a team like St. Cloud State. You know, it could, you know, Jess, you can insert your St. Cloud State punchlines and all that later.
I'm a believer. I'm on board. I'm driving to St. Cloud Friday night for the playoffs, baby. I'm on board.
Is that because you're stringing for every paper in Wisconsin?
Just the largest paper in Wisconsin.
All righty. Awesome. But I think those teams are going to be dangerous, you know?
Are you going to...
What if we get a... Foss, you and I were talking about this. What if we got a North Dakota BU first-round game? I'm just saying.
Oh, no, I'm just... That's... I mean, you could get that in Worcester.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's... You know, and obviously North Dakota is another team we have to talk about here in a little bit, just how they're... fighting through some injuries at not the greatest time of the year to be doing so, but I mean, you look at BU, I mean, they could be a 4 seed or a 3 seed, and that's a team I don't want to face in the first round. I'd much rather take a Minnesota or a Wisconsin as opposed to, you know, a BU or a
Michigan State
or even a Clarkson. Clarkson played pretty well down the stretch there.
Yeah, they did what they had to do. One storyline that it may become a factor if they were to get hot in the regional, wherever that might be, or if they have to go back out to Colorado Springs. They went out there and got beat up pretty bad by Colorado College, but I think they learned a lot. I mean, there was stuff they learned about playing at altitude, stuff they learned about playing on big ice. So I think that series, while it didn't help Clarkson from a record standpoint and probably downgraded their reputation in terms of Western fans, if that's possible to be anymore, you know, condescending. They might have learned a lot there, so we'll see what happens with that. That's something that, you know, you kind of got to file away in the back of your head to think about. And maybe it'll come true, Denver or Colorado Springs. So, you want to get to North Dakota, Bus? And then we'll loop back for the CCHA later?
Yeah, let's get to North Dakota. Well, let's get to the WCHA in general, just because, you know, I think out of the, you know, if we're looking at the four established conferences, let's call them that, I think the CCHA slate is probably the weakest of the four.
It's chalk. Those teams are going through.
Yeah, I would think so. The only one that I would maybe hesitate is Notre Dame and Ferris. But regardless,
that's a 4-5. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a 4-5. So, you know, no big deal. If either one of those teams advances, anyways, going back to North Dakota, and Jess can probably enlighten us a little bit more. But You know, obviously they're still cruising along. I think they're at, what, 16 or 17 in a row without a loss, which is
correct.
which is why we've got them number one in our rankings.
Yep.
And, you know, they managed to hold on this weekend, this past weekend, against a St. Cloud team that was obviously playing with some serious motivation. You know, they had to, St. Cloud had to get points in order to get home ice in this week's first round of the playoffs, and the Huskies managed to do that. But now all of a sudden, you know, North Dakota's dinged up a little bit with Genoway's was out this weekend.
Genoway's out. Trupp is out.
Trupp is out.
And now
Oshie was hurt
now,
on Saturday.
Now the great mystery. I mean, you know, they won't, as per typical of all schools, they won't ever say specifically what's wrong with anyone. But TJ Oshie played the first shift of the game on Saturday. Came out, did not play at all the rest of the first period. He went the first shift in the second period just kind of to see, you know, how is it going, and came out and did not play the rest of the game. So I talked to their SID today. He obviously couldn't give me much information about what's going on, but that's a mystery, and that's obviously, if he's not playing, it's a huge loss, especially against a very strong defensive team like Michigan Tech, where you need to score some goals. To take, in my mind, one of the better goal scorers in college hockey out of the lineup would be huge. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's where North Dakota is right now.
It's definitely a tough one. Did you give me the old upper body, lower body?
No, didn't give me anything. Yeah. Okay. And here's the bigger question, I think, is does it matter for North Dakota what they do this weekend? I mean, isn't this a team that's in the NCAA tournament come what may here in the next couple weeks? And you know, if they have to sit three guys down and just kind of see how it goes, does it matter?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously they're in. There's no way.
They're in.
There's no way they're.
You want to be playing well going in.
Absolutely.
I don't think you want a week off, you know, and then you're leaving your seating and such up in the air.
The 2004 George Gwozdecki blueprint doesn't hold water here.
Well, it worked for that Denver team, that team in particular.
Yeah,
yeah,
it did work for that. It did work for that team, and you know, remember
well,
that.
Hey, you know
remember
what?
That team was
how
missing Connor. That team was missing Connor James too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got hurt in the last weekend.
Got him back after, you know, a couple weeks of rest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One goal later, they were national champions.
There you go. But
how great was that team as far as being mentally equipped to do that job? You know, they weren't fazed by things. They were so loose and so cool through the whole deal, I think, that they wouldn't. That was part of what made that team special and successful.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, this is a little bit off topic, but, you know, a lot of teams, you know, you kind of have a sense going in, you know, which teams are there on business and treating it like a business trip, and which teams are like, hey, we're at the Frozen Four, let's soak it up and let's take it all in. And Michigan State was that team last year. Denver was that team back in 04, and I think, you know, to a certain extent, 05, they were still kind of...
They had a different personality.
But they were enjoying the ride. And obviously, they had a ton of talent on that team, too.
Yeah.
Even Wisconsin in 06, you know, I think there
yeah,
was...
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Adam Burrish. You get a sense early on, I think, once... kind of you assemble and you see the teams in their element at the Frozen Four site of which teams are, you know, kind of looking straight forward and going through the, you know, the normal pregame motions, and which teams are like, hey, we're at the Frozen Four, let's have fun, let's enjoy it. And, you know, Denver was that team, no question,
in
04. I mean, they were soaking everything in.
No doubt.
The lasting impression, or one of the lasting impressions I have of that year was, you know, they come back to beat Minnesota Duluth in the semifinal with a third period comeback after being down, you know, pretty seriously. Down by two, I think, going into the third, and very close to being down by three. Junior Lessard didn't convert on a 2-0 break very late in the second period. But, you know, we asked George Gwozdecki after the game. They come back to win, I think it was 5-3 with an empty net goal. And what did you say to your team after the second period? And he says, I just reminded them that if we win this game, we get two more police escorts to the rink from the Boston cops.
Yeah.
That's all it
wow,
took.
You know. No fire and brimstone, just, you know, hey, like you said, we're here, let's have fun.
And they did.
Yeah.
And they did.
They certainly
and they,
did.
And they did.
And I'm not sure who that... I don't know who that team is right now.
Well, we'll see when we get there.
We'll find out when we get there. But back to the WCHA. Jess, as you were saying, I mean, and this was, as you were saying before we got started, I mean, this is...
Off air, would you say?
Off air, yeah.
Pre-recorded.
In the green room, you were saying that...
in our production meeting.
Our production meeting.
Were we storyboarded the whole thing?
We, something like that.
Yes, folks, we rehearse.
yeah. At the rehearsal. Something like that.
Wow.
But, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise. I think maybe seeing four quote-unquote upsets, or, you know, four situations in which the lower
four series where the road team comes out.
Well, I think Tech might be pushing it a little bit, but I guess
absolutely
that depends,
you know,
on Boshi. But
the old Herb Brooks quote, you know, you don't have enough talent to win on talent alone. North Dakota, even without those three guys, I think has enough talent to win on talent alone. I mean, they're good. You know, hey, they haven't lost in what, 2 months?
Yeah, since
so
January 5th or something.
We're shoveling dirt, you know, maybe way, way, way too early, you know, but we just don't know. But beyond that, you've got Minnesota Duluth going to Denver. I just looked
it
up.
Could go either way.
The Bulldogs
favored for sure, but
Denver's favored for sure. But here's a couple things to consider. Pioneers have lost three in a row for the first time this season, heading into the playoffs. The Bulldogs are 7-4-0 in their last 11 games at Magnus Arena, including upsetting them in the playoffs 2 years ago. So, a couple of numbers that might work in the Bulldogs. Now, I would be surprised, let me just say that, if UMD pulls that off, but they could.
Could happen, exactly.
And if you're UMD and you want to, and you have to go on the road for the playoffs, Denver is definitely the place you want to go.
Why?
Because of the factors I just mentioned. The building they're comfortable in. They split earlier this year. They upset in the playoffs 2 years ago. They know it there. They know what to do.
Gotcha.
Well, and here's a number that works in...
not playing great right now.
What's that?
They're playing a Denver team that's not playing great right now.
No, they're not.
Exactly.
They're not.
You got a number for us, boss?
Yeah, it's two. That's all the goals you should need to beat Duluth, because they can't score.
Yeah.
No, they cannot.
Yeah.
But I think that works in favor of Denver. I mean, Denver really hasn't been putting a lot of big numbers on the board either. So, you know, to know that if they can get up 2-0 early on Duluth,
yep,
and really put the screws to the Bulldogs, I mean, that'll be huge for the confidence of the Pioneers.
Minnesota Duluth, their leading scorer, two guys, their two leading goal scorers. Berger Shark and Nick Kemp, 7 goals apiece.
Come on.
Oh, Andrew Carroll, I'm sorry, also has 7 goals. So their top 3 goal scorers have combined for 21 goals this season.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Matt Smith.
That's like Merrimack from last year.
Matt Smith.
Or not, this is the school. This is the school that produced, you know, Bill Watson, Derek Plant,
Matt
Hull.
I saw a Derek Plant reference last week, Jess, on a Sabres broadcast. Made me think of you.
He was an underrated Saber, by the way.
Oh, he was on a team full of them.
Yeah.
Dixon Ward.
Yep.
Sanderson, Plant, Rob Ray.
Razor.
Those battles.
McGregor Sharp is the Bulldogs' leading scorer. He has 7 goals and 10 assists. 17 points.
Yikes.
Jeez.
Wow.
Makes Vermont look like the 84 Oilers.
So you're absolutely right, Mike. Score 2 goals and...
Score 2 crooked numbers. That's all you need.
Score 2, take over the team's goal-scoring lead.
Jeez. Yeah. I was going to say, Matt Smith of RIT had six this weekend.
Congratulations, Matt Smith, on being the Inside College Hockey National Player of the Week.
Yeah, we should mention that. Back-to-back Hatties. Can't beat that.
No, you cannot.
Is that it for the WCHA?
No, I talked about Goldie against.
Oh yeah,
We got two more series to talk about, and we'll talk about them quickly.
We can talk
about
my Huskies.
Minnesota goes to Minnesota State. Here's the number you need to know on that one. And you talk about a favorable matchup for the road team. Minnesota all time versus the Mavericks is 26-2-4.
What are they this year?
2-0.
Okay.
In fact, their series, get this, Gopher fans, you want another indication that it was an off year by Gopher standards? The home-and-home series with Minnesota State in November was the only WCHA series that Minnesota swept this year.
Wow.
They did not sweep a home series. Got a lot of ties. That was Don Lucia's funniest quote of the weekend. He talked about that stretch 2 months ago where they went 1-4-5. He said, hey, we proved we could tie anybody.
That's a great line. That's a great line.
It's like Sean Kemp on Father's Day.
Wow. All right, my Huskies, hottest team in the WCHA right now?
Well, there is that North Dakota team that hasn't lost in 2 months, but...
Well,
Huskies are 1-1-2 in their last four, so yeah, they're hot in their own.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what we get.
Another series that, you know, the numbers favor the road team. The Badgers in their last 15 versus the Huskies are 11-1-3.
Oh, there you go.
Granted, they lost the last time out of the shoot, which was just 2 weeks ago in St. Cloud. So Wisconsin's looking at the prospect of five games in a row at the National Hockey Center. But, you know, another very evenly matched series. Two teams with, you know, good but not great goaltending. Huskies can score a lot more. The Badgers probably could play better defense. So that'll be an intriguing one to watch, too.
Weslowski still going for the Huskies?
Chase Weslowski. Big kid. Real big kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked good. Oh, here's one for you, Jess. St. Cloud State, Clarkson was 14-1-1 at home this year at Chio. The only loss was to St. Cloud State.
Oh, there you go.
In a game I attended. So
Huskies.
You're good luck for the Huskies.
Huskies.
Yeah, they're
going
to put that on the cover of their media guide next year.
A little picture of Gladdy in the corner.
Holding up the one finger.
We're number one.
We're number one. We're the only team to beat Clarkson at Chiel.
I had a black and red foam finger on one hand and a green and gold one on the other.
You couldn't lose.
Beautiful.
I was leaving that rink saying, we won no matter the outcome. All right. Okay.
And just quickly, let me just so we cover it all. The other first round series is 10th place Alaska Anchorage going to WCHA champion Colorado College. Congratulations,
cursed
to the Tigers.
College.
Cursed. CC stands for cursed champions.
Cursed college. Champions.
Wow. Well, but hey, congratulations. That's three WCHA titles in 6 years, which for a school that's smaller than a lot of high schools. You know, hey, good luck. Way to go.
Proud of you.
Zero NCAA titles, though.
No, not zero. 97.
In the last 6 years.
Well, in the last 6 years, sure.
Just saying.
There are a lot of teams that have won zero titles in the last 6 years.
As a University of Denver grad, as a University of Denver alum, I just want to remind.
And I'm going to name them all right now.
I'm just going to remind people of that.
Nice.
Zero NCAA titles. Nice.
Speaking of high school, can I diverge for just a second?
Of course, Jess. This is
Mike,
a podcast.
Mike, you live in Michigan. This 8 overtime state championship game.
Yeah, did you see this?
Between Marquette
what?
And Orchard. The high school championship in Michigan goes to 8 overtimes. They declare it a tie after 8 overtimes, and they award them co-champions, which I'm okay with it. But let me just say this. This is the stat that jumped out at me. They play 8 overtimes, and the one goalie in a 1-1 game had 33 saves. Whoever your opponent is, shoot the puck, dude.
Get it on that. You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, you know.
If you're over the red line, fire the baby. See what happens.
What's that old Gretzky quote? You can't. You won't score on any shot that you don't take or something?
100% of the shots you don't take don't go in. Is the
yeah, exactly. Quote. Yeah.
Or to quote Mike Sertich, a shot on goal is never a bad play.
Exactly.
Yeah. 33 exactly. It ain't overtime.
Almost eight in the overtime.
How long were the overtime periods? A minute and a half?
I thought they said 8 minutes. I read the story and then I didn't look at that. I don't remember that part.
So congratulations to Marquette.
It was Marquette, Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, huh? There you go.
Is that a Detroit suburb or where's Orchard Lake?
Yeah.
Yes. That
gotcha.
Would be, if I'm not mistaken, that would be up. You know, for somebody that's lived in Michigan for 7 years, my geography is really terrible. But I'm gonna say it's up in the Waterford area, northwest, okay. Far northwest corner of the Detroit metro.
And is Marquette still the Redmen?
I
succumb to political correctness. Like,
you know, that's a good question.
We'll have to get our high school hockey correspondent Joseph Daniel Ford on the phone.
I thought you were going to say Dave Ellis.
No.
Oh,
he's in the trenches, man. He might be a state coach of the year.
Nah.
Thanks for your support.
They lost to Flint Powers.
Yeah, I know.
They did have a nice run, though. Lansing Catholic Central.
Yeah, they improved by like 14 wins or something, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I think they finished second in the CAAC. This is a narrow cast right now. There's like 4 people that get this.
Well, one of them is the head coach of the Lansing Catholic Central. The Cougars?
Cougars.
That's right. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
That's the name of the team.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to do anything with the parents.
Exactly. Since we're in that part of the world, let's talk about the CCHA.
Yeah, let's.
Can Nebraska, Omaha, give Michigan any troubles, any problems?
No, I don't think so.
BG can't give Miami any trouble.
I'm gonna say no. Although BG did beat them earlier this year,
that was
at Bowling Green. But
wasn't that like in February?
It was in January.
Okay.
You know, I think Notre Dame and Ferris. We kind of touched on that earlier. That's pretty much a coin flip.
That's a wash. Yeah.
I mean,
Ferris is playing better now.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's at home.
Yeah. So either way, you know, Michigan and Northern.
Michigan State.
Michigan State and Northern Michigan. And I think there's a little bit of intrigue there just because Northern Michigan has been playing.
They got them pretty good up north, right?
Yeah, they beat them, I think, it was like 3-1, 3-0 up in Marquette. And then kind of since that time, Northern has played a lot better and they've been scoring a lot. You know, I think Michigan State wins this still. But I think it could be very interesting. I could see this one going 3 games.
Yeah, could.
But I still think Michigan State pulls it out.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that, as I said earlier, other than that Ferris series against Notre Dame, I think it'll pretty much hold up in that league.
But if you're looking for intrigue, that I think is maybe the most. That's got the most sizzle. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll actually have 2 champions this time next week. 2 conference champs.
Yes, we will. Atlantic Hockey Final Five in Rochester, with the RIT Tigers eligible for this season's tournament. Did not win the regular season as they did last year. That goes to Jess's Army Black Knights.
Woohoo! Go Army.
Army's the top
seed. Navy. Oh, wait, they can't beat Navy. They don't. Yeah, anyway.
Is RIT the 2 seed out there?
Yes.
Okay. So I believe, I'm trying to think, I'm trying to do this bracket in my head because I don't have it in front of me. I think RIT plays the winner of Sacred Heart and Mercyhurst. And then it's Air Force, or no, did I say RIT? I meant Army.
Yeah.
Army plays,
right, the 4-5.
We'll play Sacred Mercyhurst, and then it's RIT and Air Force. You know, those are three pretty good teams there. Those 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we were talking about that with the Inch Power Rankings. I guess we can delve into that a little bit. We like those teams.
Yeah.
We've got Army at 20th. We weren't that far off from, you know, RIT, Air Force, and Vermont. Vermont, we're just still, I guess, waiting, right, Buss? I mean, we're just...
Yeah.
Not there yet. I don't know, something about it.
Yeah, I just... I don't know. You know, I mean, they beat UNH this past weekend, but what did UNH have to play for? I mean, they had all their guys out there. I mean, but
yeah.
I'm still, you know, I'm not sold on them, but that doesn't take anything away from the season that they've had, because they've clearly, especially over the second half of the year, have had a really good season. I think, you know, better than when you look at their numbers, as we talked about earlier, you know, they've had a better season than their numbers would indicate. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But getting back to the Atlantic Hockey, you know, I think you look at any one of those three teams, you know, RIT, Air Force, and Army, you know, depending on who... You know, it all depends on matchups, obviously, but depending on who, you know, which one of those three teams advances and who they get in the NCAA tournament, I mean, I don't think they're going to be an easy out. Let's put it that way. And I think the days of easy out are...
Gonzo.
Are gone.
Gonzo. Yeah, it's amazing that a Holy Cross victory sent shockwaves through college hockey a few years ago. Now it probably doesn't. You know, it'd be less surprising in this current, I think, landscape.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And you have to wonder about Air Force, too, had Eric Eane not gotten hurt.
Yeah.
You know, where they would be. But, you know, they're still right there.
Yeah, that'll
so,
be a good one.
You know, credit for them, credit to them, too, for that.
Be a good one.
And then,
email, since we're just talking about service academies quickly.
Yes.
I got an email. You guys saw it. I wrote a story for USA Hockey Magazine about Army and Air Force hockey. And I got an email about someone mentioning that I should have covered the U.S. Coast Academy as well. Sent me a nice little link to their website. I just happened to look at it just now. The United States Coast Guard Academy hockey team, their nickname is the Bears.
The Bears?
When you think seafaring and the Maritimes and so forth, you think land-based forest animals, don't you? Not the dolphins, not, you know, the sea wolves, not the sharks. The Bears.
Bears.
That'd be like Nevada Reno naming their team the Eskimos.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The Arizona Blizzard.
Yeah.
Tulsa Hurricane. I don't know.
Well, that's actually...
No, wait a second.
Oh, no. Those are tornadoes.
No, the University of Tulsa is the Golden Hurricane, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I saw that in a movie once. Oh, no, that was something else. Never mind.
Reminds me of a song.
So they're the Bears, huh?
CoastGuardHockey.com. The USCGA Bears. Go Bears. Wow.
that's who I want making sure that's the kind of guys I want making sure the shores are safe. which way are they pointed?
I feel much safer in my little town here.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe there's some history there. I mean, who knows?
Do they have a Coast Guard outpost there in Oswego, New York?
Yes, they do.
Do they really?
Yes, they do. You got the Great Lakes Command. Who bet?
They got an icebreaker?
No.
Oh.
Our lake doesn't freeze as much as you would think.
I used to live on one of the Great Lakes. They had Coast Guard guys all over the place there. So.
Lake Superior? They had the Coast Guard cutter out there.
Hey, they do great work. Don't kid yourself.
Coast Guard is vital.
I just am a little wondering about the...
bear with them. Their job's a bear. Very good work.
Some of those guys in the Coast Guard are grizzled veterans.
Okay.
But
I'm looking at their website. In World War II, they had an ice hockey team, like a club team, called the Cutters.
Well, that
makes perfect sense. That's better. Where did the bears come from?
It makes you wonder what part
of
the water.
It should be the Argos.
Yeah, the Argos. The Clippers, maybe. Anyway.
The Clippers. makes you wonder what waterways they got their boats in.
Okay, from the humorous events at the rink department, we'll lighten this up a little bit.
Yeah, this is good.
Game basically over. Dartmouth had scored an empty netter at Cornell on Saturday night. Guys wanted to, you know, make plans and reintroduce themselves for Sunday evening's game 3, so there was a little joust at the next to the Dartmouth net. Cornell on the attack. They're down 2 at this point. And last minute of the game, and they gave a matching minus to the two players, so it's 4-on-4 skaters. Just remember, the matching minors took place in the Dartmouth zone. And so it's 4-on-4, and Cornell's got 5 players out for the straw. So the ECAC hockey ref is trying to shoo one of the players off, and he's still counting 5, and nobody's going anywhere. He's trying to get one guy to the bench, and he looks at the bench, and he tells Cornell's coaches to get a player off, and they just kind of pointed down at the other end of the ice where the goalie was pulled, so the 5 skaters were A-okay. And the ref responds with kind of a, oh, my bad, I didn't notice. And the Cornell bench responds with, and move the face off outside, too. They were all set to drop the puck in the zone, but the matching miners pull it outside. Absolutely great. Loved it.
That's outstanding.
Wow.
Did he work the next night?
Let me look that up. Oh, yeah, can we go on some hockey rants, general hockey rants?
Uh-oh, where is this going? Oh, yeah, I know where this is going.
I got a couple. First of all, if you have a 3-game series, use the same officiating crew every night.
You want to do that, or you don't want to?
Absolutely, WCHA
doesn't do that.
Well,
WCHA brings in a different crew for the third game if there's a third game.
Well, they should.
Even if there's not a third game, they bring in a different crew. I don't know why.
Just to hang out. In case something flares.
Tunnel security.
I like that. I like having the same refs for the entire series.
So do I.
I think that makes perfect sense.
I think it's a disaster waiting to happen. I don't know why. I'm just throwing it out there.
Cornell and Dartmouth played 3 games and had a different ref every single game. That can't help flow.
No, there's no way it does.
I don't know. I'll delve into that a little bit. I'll talk to some people.
We haven't
Probably in the Albany notebooks.
We haven't done enough delving this year.
I'll get some stuff when we get to the Bank of America ECAC Hockey Championships at the Times Union Center.
Speaking of referees, I just got to add quick. Notice this weekend, I was at the Minnesota Duluth Minnesota series at Mariucci Arena. John Campion, WCHA referee, I'm looking up at the TV replay and they show it close. On the back of his helmet, he's got a sticker that looks like the Kansas City Royals logo, just a KC interlocking. And then it dawned on me that's a tribute to his late wife, Kelly, who Bossy went to high school with, former Kelly Brill and Kelly Campion, who passed away about a year ago. I just thought, you know, kind of nice little subtle way to remember Kelly. Kind of a neat thing.
By the way, CCHA playoff series, just looked at the Bowling Green Lake Superior set. They had the same refs all three nights. And
I would guess they did in Omaha.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out myself.
I would guess they would at Northern, too.
Keith Surgut, yeah, all three nights, the same ref. So if it's okay for Pi, it's okay for me. That's the way I look at it.
Those are words to live by, actually.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Okay.
Rant.
More hockey ranting.
Oh, boy.
This rule doesn't apply in college hockey.
I had a preview. I got a preview. Yeah, actually, this, you know what? This is a good rant.
Okay.
This is a good rant.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
This rule doesn't apply in college hockey, but the way they've adopted rules and rules interpretations, we could see it. I like the penalty. When a player in the NHL or the American League puck over the glass in the defensive zone that's not deflected or anything is a delay of game penalty, and it's 2 minutes. Same with the new goalie trapezoid. When they come out to play the puck outside of that zone, delay a game. So why is it not a delay a game when a player makes a hand pass in the offensive zone?
Intentional.
That is, it's the same thing. You know what? Even the thing that makes those other rules great are their binary. It's yes or no. And you know what? There's a lot of times, especially late in the third period when the ice is junk and the puck's bouncing and flopping around and you guys just try to bang it off with a, you know, Bell tire ad on the sidewall, but it jumps up on end and it flips over the glass. It's a penalty, you know, intentional or unintentional, because it's that way. And I'm calling for hand pass in the offensive zone, also delay game. And the one that drives me bananas, and I've probably ranted on it the last 3 years of these podcasts, is when a player falls on the puck after he blocks a shot and then lays on it, or goes to the corner and then just falls on it to get a whistle, get a line change. Those, to me, call those right away. Right away. And it speeds up the game, and it creates more scoring chances. Because all they're doing is trying, you know, you don't blame them because they're doing what's in the rules to help their team win that shift or win that play, but it's just brutal. It's got to go both ways. And the specific incident, really, if people saw it, the administration of the end of the Boston Bruins Washington Capitals game on Saturday afternoon was a disgrace. The 6 minutes on Brashear, not a problem. For those that didn't see it, Donald Brashear got a stick up when he was forechecking, cut a guy so there was blood, and then another guy stepped over and Brashear popped him right in the chops. And so he got the double minor for the high stick drawing blood and then the roughing minor. So he had a six-minute penalty with like 6:40 left in the game, and the Caps up 1-0. But then they call the chintziest little – they called it hooking when Caps defenseman reached in to play the puck and the Boston guy fell over. It probably should have been a trip, if anything, but it shouldn't have been anything. And then, on the 5-on-3, Boston scores. And the penalty carries over, so they got a 5-on-4. Zdeno Chara is at the point, center point, using his little fiberglass, flexible, bendy stick there. Blows up in his hands, like those things always do. So he's got no stick, and he can't play the puck. He holds onto the broken stick and kicks the puck with his feet, which is a penalty to start with. Then he realizes it, dumps the stick, goes to his knees, and covers the puck. This isn't a high slot, right at the blue line, center point. I mean, and he covers it with his hands. And then he's going to get delay, and he knows that. And the Caps penalty killer is out there trying to get the puck, and it's probably a breakaway if Chara doesn't do that. Or at least he's going to have to grab him and tackle him or something. So then as the Caps guy approaches and Chara doesn't want the delay, he makes a hand pass right on the tape of his teammate there on who's at the top of the circle. I mean, that to me is pretty obvious. And it should have been called, honestly. It should have been called delay. If you look within the spirit of the rule, that's exactly what it was. So,
yeah,
I feel better now.
I would agree.
I feel better.
I remember, I only saw one.
Wow, I'm going to need a shower after that. Whew. That was a rant.
I only saw one. Yeah, the end of that game was strange. Let's put it that way.
Then they called the hook on Pody when he got... like tackled into the boards or slash they called it, I think. I don't know. Yeah, it was wild.
I only saw one replay of the play of the Chara thing, and yeah, it was
awful.
It was pretty flaky. You know, there's no question about it.
And you know, you can say, well, there's no such thing as a makeup call, and we call it the same way in November that we do in April and all that, but there is such a thing. And if you put a team down 5-on-3 twice for a full 2 minutes with 6 minutes left and two teams battling for the last playoff spot, you know, you have to look for that opportunity.
Yeah.
It's part of the game.
Yeah.
Ah, it was brutal. Brutal.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my rule change proposition is hand pass in the offensive zone by the attacking team is a delay of game penalty 2 minutes. So all you rules nicks out there.
Well, and it's not just the hand pass. It's just the covering it up.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's less. That's more of a judgment call. But
yeah, but
yeah,
still, I mean,
that one's driven me nuts for a long while.
So what's the intent of that? Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, his intent is to stop play.
Yeah, exactly.
For no reason other than that he's in a situation where he doesn't have a stick, and he was playing with a broken stick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one's bad.
So they blew three calls in a span of about 10 seconds.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, well, whatever. Anyway, that's where I stand on that. I'm gonna try and get some time on the podium in front of one of the committees down in Naples this year.
Oh, I thought you were gonna call Colin Campbell or something.
Well,
Stephen Walker.
It wouldn't be the first time if college hockey instituted a rules interpretation or rule. But the NHL would have followed it. So.
No, that's right.
Anyway, I got that going for me, which
that's
is
right.
Nice.
By the way, for people who saw the Caps-Penguins game on Sunday afternoon, pretty entertaining game.
Yeah, it was a nice little game. Feel bad for Nick Backstrom.
Yeah, I do too.
Never like to see that, especially a 19-year-old kid. He's going to be one of the great players in this league for the next 10 to 15 years. Buy Backstrom stock now.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too, you know, for a league that needs all the help it can get, I mean, that was for people who tuned in, that would have been a great advertisement for the NHL because the Stars were the best players.
Yeah.
I mean, Crosby was good, Malkin was good, Ovechkin was good.
Yeah. Green was not great.
No.
But nobody knows who Mike Green is. Leading defenseman goal scorer.
No, he's got 17 goals, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Brooks Like.
Nasty. Got a goal. Speaking of
who leads the NHL in power play goals in March? Brooks Like.
I know.
Speaking of guys,
I know a guy named.
Goals.
I know a guy who named a kid after him.
Just saying.
Herb Brooks.
A lot to like. A lot to like. President of the Brooks Like fan club here in Oswego, New York. We're seeking our second member of the fan club. any Brooks-like fans out there?
Membership drive's a little slow.
It's a membership drive for the Brooks-like fan club. So contact me at Gladdy, Gladdy, at InsideCollegeHockey.com.
What do you
Subject
get?
Line, Brooks-like fan club.
What do you get?
You get membership.
Where is he from? He's in Ontario?
Saskatchewan.
Oh, he's from the prairie.
Yeah. Yeah, played for the Seattle Thunderbirds, the Western Hockey League.
The
was originally a
the Senators draft.
Speaking of Canada, I got an air of beef. Just quick, I'm reading SI.com today, and Peter King from Sports Illustrated just got back from Afghanistan. He took a USO trip with a bunch of NFL players to meet with the troops and talk football, and sounds like it was quite a thing. And he said, got up one morning at the base he was staying at in Kandahar, Afghanistan, and stopped at the Starbucks they have there on base, and then walked across the street to the Tim Hortons they have on base in Kandahar, Afghanistan. Don't have Timbits in Minnesota, mind you, but you can get them in Afghanistan.
You can roll up the rim in Kandahar.
Yeah, I rolled up the rim twice last week and did not win.
I did not win either.
I'm still searching for my first roll up the rim and win.
We don't have Tim Hortons, we don't have Dunkin' Donuts, and all of the Krispy Kremes in Minnesota just went out of business like last week.
Oh, really?
There are empty shells. So we're like donut-free land here. We, flyover country or whatever they call it.
Super America?
Well, yeah, but gas station donuts, come on.
Yeah, that's junk.
That's all you got in Minnesota, though. Krispy Kremes don't count, by the way. That's not a donut.
That's a pastry.
No, it's like packing foam.
It's too much.
That's a basketball person's donut. That's all I got to say about that.
They opened Krispy Kreme opened here 6 years ago, and there were TV stations broadcasting live from the first Krispy Kreme. It was such a huge deal, and now you drive by it, it's on the freeway on the way to St. Cloud, and there was a truck there hauling the baking stuff out last week.
Well, they expanded too fast, and accumulated a significant amount of debt. Whatever, but good to know. It's hockey playoff season when you see the roll up the rim to win commercials for Tim Hortons.
Roll up the rim time. Oh yeah.
I didn't even. Oh, yeah. What's the big prize?
We don't
this
get
year?
Those commercials here.
What's the big prize this year?
I'm not sure. I think a truck. They always give away trucks.
They give away a boat too. I think.
Boat. Yeah. I think some big TVs. Those big fancy TVs that people have these days.
Now you're just.
I'm just hoping for free medium coffee when I roll up.
Now you're just mocking me.
Yeah, I'm hoping for free medium coffee too, or a sandwich or something.
ten pack of Timbits.
There you go, crawler.
Little 10 guy.
There's no. I don't think there's Tim. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say there's no Tim Hortons in Denver.
I'm pretty sure there's not Tim Hortons.
There is Boston.
We'll get
Pizza,
our research
however.
Staff on there.
They have Dunkin' Donuts in Denver, or at least they do in Colorado Springs.
Do they have Sonic?
Yes, they do have Sonic.
Yes, they do.
Sonic, the one with the funny commercials.
Yes. In fact, that is
nice.
I had a Sonic.
The drive-up place.
I'm looking forward to that. I've never. Their stuff looks pretty good. I mean, it's. I give them tons of points for creativity. It's not like often that you'll see the. Blueberry hot fudge sundae milkshake or whatever.
Weak tot action.
Yeah, don't bring the weak tot action.
there's Sonic out there. In fact, right before we moved from Colorado to Michigan, they just opened one right half mile from our house. I stopped in there once. Good stuff.
Terrific. We'll have to.
Want to go there because they're always on the Braves broadcasts.
Yeah, the formerly Braves broadcasts. Don't get me started on that.
Sonic's big thing is drive through, with it tray out to your car.
Yes.
And that's one of the rare franchises that's expanding into Minnesota. They're opening one this summer, and that's the big controversy is how are you going to operate a year-round drive-thru in Minnesota? who's going to want to sit in their car with the window rolled down in January eating a burger and fries?
Yeah, that could be.
It'll probably get cold relatively fast.
They do have a lot of food, though.
Yeah.
They do the breakfast, and they...
Oh, yeah, breakfast burrito.
I don't know.
I went to a Sonic in Arizona in December.
Yeah.
I like
Home of the Arizona Blizzard.
Sonic Hedgehog. Sonic the Hedgehog. I have that.
All that the only thing that daylight savings time means is that it's more light out to shovel snow in.
Did you get dumped on?
There's still a foot and a half of snow here. There was actually an ice storm most of the weekend. So
yeah, Ohio.
Spirit of the thing, right there, driving down Ithaca in an ice storm, watching college hockey.
That is it. Ohio got killed. I know that.
Yeah, there are power outages and things for the weak-minded.
It's all right.
Those steady, steadfast, hardened people of Oswego, New York experience no power outages.
Happy birthday, Chuck Norris.
Yes.
Throw that out there. Do you have anything to add? Any Chuck Norris-isms?
Chuck Norris can divide by zero?
And the answer is Chuck Norris?
And the answer
is...
How about... we used them all up on our great... That was one of the best napkins of inch history, by the way.
Yeah.
Good job. We used them up there.
I don't even remember what that was about, to be honest with you. It was good, though.
College hockey Chuck Norrisisms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that now.
When asked about... Advanced missile defense, Eric Ean rolled up his sleeve. Awesome.
Now, if Chuck Norris was playing hockey and his team got a penalty, you couldn't call him shorthanded because Chuck Norris was on that team, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go.
When Chuck Norris is on a breakaway, they call it the Chuck Norris line.
I think that the Chuck Norris hat trick is a goal, an assist, and a roundhouse kick to the sternum. Oh, crap.
Yeah, we'll see.
This is the self-amused portion of the podcast.
Somebody's laughing.
Thing we like to call deterioration.
Somebody's laughing with us, I think.
Okay.
Not Chuck Norris, though. He doesn't laugh.
He doesn't laugh. Anything else, folks? Put a bow tie on this.
Somebody got a swinging door back in the background there.
I was just in my pantry. I'm putting a beef roast in the slow cooker. Stop by Italian Beef tomorrow. Anybody, come on over.
I thought maybe you were podcasting from an Old West saloon.
Nothing with Jeff, you know. Segment of the podcast brought to you by Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris and Lipton onion soup mix.
Chuck Norris's Italian beef.
Chuck Norris cooks a roast with a match.
No, he breathes on it. He just looks at it.
All right. Okay. One more back to hockey thought, and then we'll sign off here. Give me your upset pick of the upcoming weekend. Pick one and only one, your gold lock upset special of the week. For entertainment purposes only.
Wow. Does it have to be from your own league?
No.
No,
anywhere.
In
the country. So, Jess, it has to be from your own league.
I'll say, see, I don't know about the WCHA playoffs. I'm too scared to pick anything because it's just so up in the air,
right?
For the reasons we detailed. So, I'll head out east toward the rising sun, and I'll pick Providence over BC.
Yep. That one's definitely there. It's a 4-5, but I think that'd be considered a pretty big upset.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's more like a 3.5, 5.5.
Yeah, you're right on that.
Is it my turn?
Sure.
I'm gonna go to the CHA. And I'm gonna say that Wayne State beats Bemidji State to get to the CHA championship game.
That's a nice little story.
Or they lose to Niagara, but that's all right.
You think Niagara over Bob?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Niagara.
Yeah.
Hey, they're at home.
Perps. Perps hockey.
Perp. The perpetrators.
Yeah. Okay, I probably shouldn't ask this question if I didn't have an answer for it myself, but that seems to be where we're at.
But by rights, you have to pick a WCHA upset now, Claddy, because we covered everything else.
Well, you know what? If I had to pick one out there, well, it would be Minnesota over Minnesota State. But again, I don't know how big that is. It's a 7-4, right?
Yes.
Right.
But, yeah, so I would pick that one out of there. I'm going to stay in my own league, and I'm going to say Yale over Princeton. 7 beats the 2.
You've been out of your league for years. Who are you kidding?
I like that
pick. Out of my mind.
I like that
pick.
I've made notes here.
All right. We'll visit on the Next Inch podcast. Again, for entertainment purposes only.
There you go.
All right. That'll do it for an Inch podcast.
That is number one rock solid lock of the week. Take this one right to the bank.
So what kind of numbers you can get at Bally's? on that Princeton Yale series.
Smooth Jimmy Apollo's 52% lock of the week.
That number has not moved since Thursday. All the smart money's coming in on the Eli's.
If Princeton and Yale are playing, it's all smart money.
It's the Ivy.
It's all endowed.
Yeah. Okay, that'll do it for an InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast. Once again, Jess Myers, Mike Eidelbus. My name is Joe Gladyszewski. Thanks for listening, and enjoy playoff hockey.
See you guys. I'm getting hands.